Hey everybody, this is Steve Horsman and Dan Dorr of Good Guys to Great Men. Yes, two guys from Good Guys to Great Men. I want you guys to meet Dan Dorr, who's an associate coach in my company, but he also is going to be joining me in the group coaching, the Menscape group coaching program coming up in February. What we wanted to do in this recording is just have a conversation that is very much like a conversation we'll be having in the Menscape group coaching program. Dan and I have been working together for what, a year now? About a year now. We've been working both on Dan's personal growth goals, his relationship goals, as well as I've been training him. I've been training him as a coach to be an associate coach in my program. He's going to be joining us for the full 12-week program in the Menscape. And we said, why don't we do a video to kind of show guys what the coaching process looks like and some of the things we talk about, because these conversations are amazing. They're edgy and they're vulnerable and they're emotional. And so we decided we're going to talk about something. Out of all the things we talk about, what was it we wanted to talk about today, Dale? What was that one issue that happened to you that you said, man, I'd like to talk about this?
That's just being triggered around, standard male role models.
Yeah.
So, you know, how you think that a man should act.
Yeah.
And how our romantic partners can trigger us around those areas.
Yeah, I think you're telling me about a case where you were out with friends and a group of friends, and your wife made a comment to you or made a comment to the group that triggered you. And so we're going to talk about triggers. A lot of things that we talk about in the coaching program are those things that cause a pit in your stomach, that burning feeling of shame or disappointment or judgment or criticism. And how do you respond? How does a man think about what's going on? Then how does he feel about what's going on? Then what does he say or do to respond? And how does he make a boundary if he needs to make a boundary? And so that's what we want to talk about. So let's start with the story. I'm just going to ask you the question, what happened? Set the frame, set the stage for what happened.
Okay, so at friends, having lunch, gone to visit some friends with kids, and so we're all sitting around a big table, having some food, talking about, the usual stuff, what's been going on, and then we get on to the subject of houses, and my wife just mentions that, you know, the house is a mess. But not just, you know, a mess as in there's clothes around or things like that. It's more really specifically more about the DIY stuff. You know, the DIY stuff is a mess. It needs doing. And, a specific example was the bathroom. And she was saying, you know, she's fed up with looking at it, falling apart, and can't bear to look at it. And the final comment was just in a jokey way, you know, like Dan's ever going to get round to fixing that. And that really just triggered me at the time. Because, you know, we have these ideals that as a man, we should be able to be good at DIY, or, you know, we should know this stuff, or, you know, at least we should be able to meet a certain standard. And so there were various feelings that were triggered in me around that, not just because of the subject, but because of the environment. So it all comes down to how I'm thinking about myself, really, as to whether I get triggered.
Were there guys there at the table or at the restaurant, wherever you were, who you knew to be really good DIY guys who?
Absolutely. So there's another aspect to the trigger in that the couple that we've gone to see, the guy is actually somebody that I do kind of DIY stuff with. You know, I make diesel with this guy, so we've done that for a long time. But he is also very handy. You know, he's very handy. He does all of the DIY around their house. You know, they would, if they got an extension on their house, he would do the majority of that work and just get people in, contractors in, to do a little bit here and a little bit there that he hadn't got experience.
So you got into the old comparing is despairing thing, where you thought maybe your wife, we won't use names for this video, we'll just say your wife, we thought maybe your wife was comparing you to him because she knows all about his handiness, right? And she gets to see what he does and then comes back to her mess of a house and her bathroom and starts to wonder why you're not more like him. I like that you recognize it came down to thoughts. What? Tell me about some of the other thoughts. you said it was in a jokey way, but obviously your stomach, that little pit in your stomach said, this is not such a jokey way. It didn't feel like a joke. What were you thinking?
Well, at the time, this is the thing. So, you know, previously I would have taken that as judgment and criticism of my DIY skills. And that would have been triggering my insecurities about my shortcomings as a man and you know, very much about my view of myself. And then there'd be things like shame, my insecurities about my abilities to meet her needs as a husband, possibly anger and frustration, you know, that she's not supporting me to help me become better at DIY. You know, why can't she work with me and help me find the right resources and things to help me get better as somebody who provides that for her? Mm-hmm. And possibly embarrassment about this being raised in a certain way around other people.
Around friends, yeah. Yeah, there's those feelings of inadequacy that are so common in men, is that I'm not good enough, I'm possibly not good enough. Those are childhood triggers too. We get into a marriage and all of a sudden she's implying that my husband isn't good enough. And those two words, good enough, are real triggers for us when it comes to many different aspects, intimacy as well, of course. And in this case, what are some of the worst ways that you've reacted to this trigger in the past, the ways that you're not proud of when you look back, either in front of the friends or when you get home? What are some of the unhealthy or destructive ways that you remember acting out?
So, you know, straight away, little snarky comments back during the rest of the conversation at the table. Mm-hmm. Little snarky comments to try and get a dig back in about her shortcomings, you know, maybe, or how she doesn't provide certain things to me as a wife. Tit for tat. And then maybe at home, you know, being distant or not being myself, not being the way that I know I want to be and the way that I feel it comes naturally to me, which is very much more open and loving and giving, but being reserved and quiet and, you know, little tweaks to my behavior.
And what were the results in the relationship for the 7 days following that incident? What did that do to your relationship?
It just increased the distance, basically, between us.
Yeah.
When she feels that I'm being reserved in some way, she will just completely kind of go into protection mode.
Yeah. So the point... At this point of the conversation, it's important to note that the negative thoughts that I'm not good enough, she's comparing me to somebody else, she doesn't think that I'm capable, she doesn't like me, she's not attracted to me, she's not proud of me, those kind of thoughts cause a feeling in your stomach, that burn, that pit, that resentment, that anger, that trigger, that causes us then to say and do the kind of crap that creates resentment, pressure, and distance. And now we've gone through this process, you and I, and you've come up with a new way to think about it first. And so what have been the thoughts that you've adopted that have become true for you as opposed to the old thoughts you've had?
Well, the first thing I think would be to look at things from her point of view, to empathize with what she's feeling, because all she's doing is telling me what she's thinking and feeling right now. Which, you know, I now understand is a gift, because I can take that information and then I can find out what's going on behind it. And I can find out, you know, I can think about previous past kind of data points that she may have taken into why she's saying the things she's saying. You know, there have been plenty of, in this example, points where I've said, yeah, okay, I'll get that done, put it on my list, but it's way down at the bottom of my list because I've got all my work stuff that's got to get done to pay the bills, blah, 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 blah. You know, so a DIY thing often ended up at the bottom of the list. And the way that comes across to her is that I've said, yes, I'll do something, but essentially I've lied because I don't do it. Even though it's still on my list, she doesn't know whereabouts it is on the list. I haven't communicated that to her. So, you know, from her point of view, it's completely understandable that she would say, Dan's never going to get around to that, because most of the stuff she gave me before, previously, never got done. It got at the bottom of the list because that's where I prioritized it. So essentially I'm prioritizing her stuff at the bottom of the list. You know, and if you think back to how you were at the beginning of the relationship, stuff she needed would have been at the top of the list.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when you think about the thoughts, you think about what her thoughts are, you can change the way you're perceiving the situation. When you used to think that she was attacking you, emasculating you, criticizing you, she was disappointed in you or judging or comparing you to others. When you change those thoughts with, what if this isn't all about me? What if she's having feelings of anxiety? What if she's feeling like she can't trust? What if she's feeling unsafe in her body? What if this whole, she can't count on me, or that she feels at the bottom of the list? And sometimes we'll think it's just a goddamn bathroom, right? It's not about you. Well, for a lot of women, the condition of their home and their bathroom is about them. And it's about them. So it's not that we're bad. It's just that they're feeling unattended to, that nobody's paying attention to them. And so when you get that thought in your head, you don't have to immediately jump to be her white knight and save her and fix the bathroom that minute. You just have to realize you can freaking relax. This isn't about you being a bad man. It's not about you being incapable or inadequate. It's just that she's having a feeling. And when you realize that, when you realize that thought, that she's just having a feeling, your thought and then your response is a lot calmer. So tell me some of the ways you've responded to her now that you have this new thought process in here that's not all about you and you can freaking relax and not take it personally. What have you done differently?
So the first thing I would probably do now is, like you said, understand that it's not all about me, that she's just communicating what she's thinking and feeling right now. And like you said, that enables me to relax. And it also enables me to really see what's going on. I can then recenter myself on, you know, what are my values? What are my boundaries? How would I like to deal with this? And then it's all down to communication. So it could stay on the bottom of my list. You know, absolutely it could.
It's always an option, yeah.
As long as I communicate that with her openly, honestly, you know, and I give her the opportunity to still be able to say, well, you know, this is actually this important for me and I really need it done by such and such a time. And then we can work out how that might work in with the rest of my schedule. You know, but the relaxing thing is the big thing because it enables you to just deal with things from your own kind of centered point of view, be able to communicate calmly. You know, you get rid of all of those negative thoughts and feelings that you built up yourself around what's been said.
And let me pause you there because when you said you can finally respond from your own centered place, that's the frame. We use the word frame a lot to talk about whether you're operating in a frame that you've created for yourself that you like, or whether you've jumped into her frame and you're operating and thinking and feeling from her frame. And the point of this coaching session here is that you used to not know that you were operating in her frame. The anxiety, the urgency, the criticism, the jittery feeling, that burn in your stomach was all from operating in her frame of reference. And you found how to live in your frame, that confident, calm center place where you get to make your own decisions. The bathroom may still not be done, but it doesn't matter. You're in your frame. In coaching, what we do is we talk about how to be in the masculine frame in every situation, whether it's an argument, mother-in-laws or kids or money or sex or bathrooms. Being in your frame is important. And that's the biggest change I've seen in you, is that you found that frame, and so you're so much more calm and so much more confident. What's been some of the results? And also tell us how the bathroom's doing too. What have been some of the results when you've found yourself consistently living in your frame instead of hers?
So, I mean, a bathroom example is a really good example, because for about 9 years, the bathroom floor was slowly sinking because there was a leak in the toilet that we didn't really know about, but eventually got to the point where it really had to be done. And so it got done by me. I looked up how I needed to do it, researched what I needed, went on and just got on and did it. Now, previously, there have been plenty of DIY projects that I've done, but I would always find myself either slightly underprepared, or I would be lacking confidence that I could do whatever it was that needed to be done. And so I'd get halfway through and freak out, you know, get stressed, basically. Right. And she's really responded very well to the difference in me being able to just take control of something, see it through in a calm manner. So that's been a major difference with this kind of more centered approach. And for me also, I've been able to come at something with real genuine self-confidence that I can do it. Mm-hmm. Previously, I would kind of, she would have this view that, you know, I was going to fail from valid data points in the past. and I would also be looking at it from that point of view, you know, I would be looking from that point of view that I'm probably going to muck this up and it's all going to go pear-shaped. So it was a perfect storm, and of course that's what happened.
Yeah. So here's the test. We're going to go back in time to that table with the friends, with Mr. DIY, and all of a sudden, this is scene one, take two, right? You get to do a do-over. And she starts ragging on, yeah, this will never get done, this bathroom, this leak, knowing Dan, it will just be there forever and it will never get done. And now you're in this new frame, you're in this new place of centeredness. How does scene one, take two go for you? Action.
So scene one, take two is really me either having a witty quip, because that's how things are in the UK. We spend a lot of time being sarcastic with each other. So even though a conversation can have a serious side to it, it's, you know, often the case that, you know, that the conversation would just end up being kind of joked around. But you can do that in a way that's snarky and underhanded, or you can do that in a way which deals with whatever concerns there are and really shows that I don't have those concerns. You know, your problems are not my problems.
Yeah.
And if we need to talk about this later, then let's talk about it later and work out when we can fit it in for you.
Yeah.
But at the moment, this is not even an issue for me.
Yeah. You know? And that's an emotional boundary you set. You may not have said anything at the dinner in front of the friends, but you might have given her a look, you know, just that look. Or maybe a hand on her knee under the table, where she knows that she's starting to enter territory that this isn't a value that either of you share. This kind of complaining or poking at each other isn't something you share. And you grin, and she knows what you mean. And I can tell by your energy now, with the shoulders up and the grin, that you're feeling so much more certain about scene one, take two. It's not a big deal, because it's not about you. And you also have the ability to indicate to her that there's a boundary here being pushed, and this isn't something that we do. Instead of going home and going, why did you do that? How could you embarrass me? I hate it when you blah, blah, blah. All that stuff that we used to do from her frame. That's her frame. So thank you. I'll bring it into this coaching session, because I wanted to demonstrate to guys watching this the way a conversation goes and how it feels when we dig in deep to a specific instance of a problem you're working with, a trigger, whether it's around sex and intimacy or money or parenting or home improvement, anything. Triggers are one of the things we talk about in the group coaching program. I'm going to bring up just the front page here of the group coaching program, if I can. It seems to have gone away. Here it is. This is the Men's Cave group coaching program. I want you guys to know that Dan and I are going to be on here together co-coaching, and he's also going through the program with me, watching how I coach. We're going to be doing this with 10 other men. The dates are already signed up for the 12 weeks. Dates are here, February 15th through May 17th. It goes for a four-month period. It's a very tight group of men, and what we're doing here is creating a brotherhood, a tribe. We're going to have a closed private Facebook group. We're going to be together on Zoom video, just like this is. We'll be able to see each other. And it's going to get tight, and we're going to get specific. And what you're going to learn from hearing other men's stories and watching us coach these guys is you're going to start to feel a transformation in your mind and your body, from living in somebody else's frame of reference, moving into a very confident, calm, clear frame of reference of your own. And if you guys are interested in knowing more about this Men's Cave group coaching program. There's a link in the description below this video. Once you click on that, you'll go to the page. It's a long page with tons of information about where, what, why, when, and how this is going to happen. It talks about the benefits of the group coaching program, and it talks about how you can sign up for this and join us in February. We'd love to have you. Thanks.